with a nonprofit called California Care Force, and they've actually done these clinics all over the state for 9 years, but never this far north. So really, we thought, you know, it's Butte County needs health care, and this is not going to solve the problem, but we feel like we can certainly help some people with this clinic. So what it is like you're saying, it's free vision, medical, and dental care to anybody who shows up, and no questions asked. You don't have to have insurance. You don't have to have ID. You don't have to have immigration status. You don't have to walk in with any paper. All you have to do is show up, and you will get services. So we're going to, so for the dental care, we'll be doing teeth cleanings, fillings, extractions. For the vision care, really good eye exams. We'll be making glasses so people can actually walk out with prescription glasses, which, you know, if you're looking for work, having good glasses can really help. And then there'll be medical care, too. So we're going to be doing medical screenings. We'll be doing immunizations. So it's amazing. And right now, we're really looking for volunteers. So we raised the money that it takes to rent the Silver Dollar Fairgrounds, which is where it is, and bring everything in and set it all up. It was pretty substantial, and the community came forward, different foundations, associations, businesses, churches, contributed money. Northern California Dental Society contributed a lot of money. And so now we're signing people up. We need medical professionals in all of those fields, in every level of medical professionals. So we need everything from technicians and techs to dental hygienists to MDs. We're looking. We still have slots to fill. And then what we really need, and what I'm going to volunteer for there, is a general volunteer. We need 200 general volunteers every day. No experience necessary to be there to help sign people in and help them find where they need to go in this big fairgrounds. Interpreters, people to hold people's hands that are frightened of the dentist, all the different things that it will take. And every volunteer gets a T-shirt, so they're clearly marked. Every volunteer will be fed, and we're getting food donated in, which is amazing. And plenty of caffeine, so we can keep going and see. We hope to see 1,000 patients a day, and that really depends on how many volunteers we get in. So that's why we want to fill it all up. We want to get every spot that we need filled so we can see anybody that walks in. So the way to go, the way to volunteer is simply to go on our website. And that, or it's not my website, it's California Care Force's website. I'm just a local volunteer. I don't do this on a regular basis, but I'm helping out on this one. So the website is California Care Force, that's CAREFORCE, Care Force, californiacareforce.org/volunteer/Chico. And if you go there, you're right up on the page. You can volunteer. It takes like 5 minutes. And then you'll get an email confirming, and you will get dialed in exactly. Everything you need to know is going onto the website, californiacareforce.org/volunteer/Chico. So we really, really want to get volunteers. And then just so everybody knows, with if you want care, and by the way, you could volunteer one day and get care the next day. So we don't have to, like, put people in categories or boxes. I mean, they're, you know, all of us can use healthcare, and all of us can probably use connecting with our community and volunteering. So it's a feel-good thing. People that want services must show up the day before to get registered. So if you want services on Saturday, you absolutely got to show up at the Silver Dollar Fairgrounds on Friday morning to get signed up. And if you want services on Sunday, you got to show up at the Silver Dollar Fairgrounds on Saturday. And the reason that they do that is so they can really hit the ground running early, 7 a.m., start seeing patients, because people are already signed up. There's already been some pre-screening. And since we have all of this set up and all of these medical professionals, we're going to have a pharmacy there. We're going to have an acupuncturist there. We're going to have, like I said, immunizations there. Everybody's going to be there. So we want to see people from 7 a.m. And so that's why you got to come the day before. Anybody that shows up that day, if you haven't been registered, you can't.
Okay, I'm not sure what happened in that interview, but let me, that's what happens. We have things pre-programmed. Where were we? We were right in the middle of this one, the Chico Free Clinic. Let's see if it'll go.
I would like to welcome Michael.
Nope.
Society contributed a lot of money, and so now we're signing people up. We need medical professionals in all of those fields, in every level of medical professionals. So we need everything from technicians and techs to dental hygienists to MDs. We're looking. We still have slots to fill. And then what we really need, and what I'm going to volunteer for there is a general volunteer. We need 200 general volunteers every day. No experience necessary to be there to help sign people in and help them find where they need to go in this big fairground setup, and interpreters, language interpreters, people to hold people's hands that are frightened of the dentist, all the different things that it will take. And every volunteer gets a t-shirt, so they're clearly marked. Every volunteer will be fed, and we're getting food donated in, which is amazing, and plenty of caffeine. So we can keep going and see. We hope to see 1,000 patients a day. And that really depends on how many volunteers we get in. So that's why we want to fill it all up. We want to get every spot that we need filled so we can see anybody that walks in. So the way to go, the way to volunteer is simply to go on our website. And that, or it's not my website, it's California Care Force's website. I'm just a local volunteer. I don't do this on a regular basis, but I'm helping out on this one. So the website is California Care Force, that's CAREFORCE, Care Force, californiacareforce.org/volunteer/Chico. And if you go there, you're right up on the page, you can volunteer. It takes like 5 minutes. And then you'll get an email confirming, and you will get dialed in exactly. Everything you need to know is going onto the website, californiacareforce.org/volunteer/Chico. So we really, really want to get volunteers. And then just so everybody knows, with if you want care, and by the way, you could volunteer one day and get care the next day. So we don't have to, like, put people in categories or boxes. I mean, they're, you know, all of us can use healthcare, and all of us can probably use connecting with our community and volunteering. So it's a feel good thing. People that want services must show up the day before to get registered. So if you want services on Saturday, you absolutely got to show up at the Silver Dollar Fairgrounds on Friday morning to get signed up. And if you want services on Sunday, you got to show up at the Silver Dollar Fairgrounds on Saturday. And the reason that they do that is so they can really hit the ground running early, 7 a.m., start seeing patients, because people are already signed up. There's already been some pre-screening. And since we have all of this set up and all of these medical professionals, we're going to have a pharmacy there. We're going to have an acupuncturist there. We're going to have, like I said, immunizations there. Everybody's going to be there. So we want to see people from 7 a.m., and so that's why you got to come the day before. Anybody that shows up that day, if you haven't been registered, you can't be seen. So everybody should mark on your calendar anybody that wants to get the services. Same thing with volunteers. Nobody can show up and just say, hey, I want to volunteer. you got to go to the website and you got to get pre-volunteer sign-in. So I think that's the main thing.
What time does the, if people are coming to sign in, what time does that registration start?
Yeah, that's a good question. So it starts both mornings at 9:30.
At 9:30.
So okay. Not terrible.
Yeah.
It's 9:30 on Friday the 2nd and 9:30 Saturday the 3rd. Those are the 2 days to sign up to get services.
And do you anticipate lines of people coming in early or maybe?
Well, I don't know. I mean, if there are, they'll be processed quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, these people really, this is a really organized event. Because they've been doing it so long, it's not kind of like, let's all show up at their fairgrounds and see who we can help.
Sure.
It's more like, you know, let's make it as pleasant for everybody as possible. Okay. So hopefully everybody will come out with a really great feeling on it.
Oh, it's I know, honestly, this is absolutely fabulous. And the fact that you guys are pulling this off and creating this and the community.
Okay, well, I'm hoping that all ran through. Views and Beyond is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Friends of the Arts, a state local partner to the California Arts Council. Since 2001, Deborah Lucero and Friends of the Arts have been creating economic opportunity through arts and culture, producing community festivals and events, including Arttoberfest, the True North Tour, the NorCal Jazz Festival, the Salmon Festival, and more. To learn more about Friends of the Arts, visit friendsoftheartsupstate.org. And by Bruce Jenkins Insurance. Attention baby boomers. Are you new to Medicare? Are you leaving an employer plan or simply just looking for competitive quotes? Bruce Jenkins Insurance may be able to help you find better coverage while introducing you to insurance and prescription or reducing your insurance and prescription costs. For answers about Medicare or Medicare supplements, you can reach Bruce Jenkins Insurance by calling 530-781-3592 or visit Bruce Jenkins at JenkinsInsurance.com for a complimentary consultation. Okay, well, I'm going to go with another interview. This is about the 4-Bay. So let's hope this one works out good. Here we go. And again, this is Sandra sitting in for Ray. And I'm going to go all the way till 7 o'clock and then stay on for peanut, or till 7:30. When is, oh, yeah, 7. 7 to 7:30, peanut butter jelly. And then 7:30 to 10 with bass and music. So here we go. Interview with 4-Bay.
We'd like to welcome Tony Catalano, a returning visitor here at Butte Views and Beyond. He is also the director of the Feather River Center, and the one of your jewels, of course, is the 4-Bay Aquatic Center.
That's correct, Ray. Thank you. It's good to be here again.
So I understand you have something coming up for Friday, tomorrow, actually.
Yes, we do. We had collaborated with Paradise Park and Rec and Chico Area Rec District and Feather River Park and Rec and Chico State, write a grant with California State Parks, State Parks Foundation, to bring Paradise and other campfire survivors out to the 4-Bay. So what we're doing is this Friday, July 26th, all day, anybody with a campfire residential ID from Paradise, Magalia, Concow, or the whole area affected by the campfire, this grant is going to help us pay for their admission to the park, and we're going to have rentals for people for only $5 per hour.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, it's a pretty good deal. We've done this before. We did it July 12th, and we had really good response, and so we're now hoping for more response this time. And in addition, we'll be doing this August 9th with Feather River Park and Rec, too.
Oh, that's great. Well, it's the perfect weekend because it's going to be like 104.
Hikes. Good day to be out in the water, people.
So yeah, it's a great day to be at the 4-Bay. Yeah, that's really, I mean, this is, so you're doing three of these events. How many people did you have on the first round?
The first round, we had 68 people signed up, or 68 people attended, and they came in about 25 cars.
Okay.
And that was with very, not enough publicity. And so we're working with Paradise Park and Rec, and they're, you know, struggling to get the word out, too, because they're located down here in Chico temporarily. And so we're working together to try to get the word out to people. So we appreciate the opportunity to do it here on KZFR.
Yeah, we'll get it up on the, I'll link it up on our Facebook page as
great.
Well for you.
Thank you. Awesome.
Yeah, that's great. Again, it's always nice to see, and it's the perfect time of year. And for people that don't know, if you still don't know where the Four Bay Aquatic Center is, we talk about this all the time. If you've ever driven down Highway 70, look off to your right.
You know, just go down for, if you're living in Chico, just head down 99 towards Oroville, and that's the first exit past the 149 junction on Highway 70. We're about, you know, 5 minutes north of Oroville, and it's those beautiful lakes you see on the right-hand side as you're going south. We're part of Thermalito North Four Bay State Recreation Area. It's a beautiful state park. State park really keeps it clean. There's many shady tables and covered picnic areas and very clean bathrooms. And the whole place is really a jewel in the area. They have a swim beach there. And then around the corner is the Four Bay Aquatic Center where we rent all the equipment.
Right, kayaks, canoes.
Kayaks, canoes, stand-up paddle boards, hydro bikes. We got new kayaks and new stand-up paddle boards this year. And, you know, so we're doing really well, and we're serving a lot of people. It's great.
Yeah, you guys have really raised the bar, and have a lot of things on the horizon that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of great wildlife out there. There's beaver, there's turtles, there's...
Oh, yeah.
All kind of
egrets and there's cranes and everything out there. It's really nice. There's a beaver dam close by. I had a family here just over the weekend who came by and took their kids out, and they saw the beaver dam and everything. They were real excited. And we got the critters, we got the water, we got the vistas. It's a really nice spot.
Yeah, beautiful at sunset.
Beautiful at sun and sunrise. If you're out there early and you want to join a rowing club, we have a rowing club that rows early in the morning one day a week, in the evening another day a week, and at 7:30 on Saturday mornings. And some of the pictures they put out at sunrise are really nice. So join the rowing club, too.
Yeah, it's a spectacular place. What are the regular hours for people? Is it
The state park itself is open 365 days from 8 a.m. to sunset. The rentals at the Four Bay Aquatic Center are open only Fridays, Saturday, and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. We do special events any day of the week. If you have a birthday party or business gathering or something, you can do that. Our sailing club has sailing classes every Thursday through August, and you can sign up for those too. So we have all kinds of water-based activities out there for a wide range of people.
All right, very good. And then, you know, the other thing, too, and I know that there's been a lot of effort by numerous entities around Oroville in restoring some of the trails, and the Feather River Nature Center and all these folks, Feather River Parks and Recreation District, the City of Oroville, DWR, State Parks, in coordinating a kind of a pathway to all of these kind of natural attractions.
Yeah, there is, and everybody's been working hard at that. And one of the things we have is we're part of the Brad Freeman Trail. So if you're a mountain bike enthusiast, you can come out and you can ride the Brad Freeman Trail from up by the dam. And I think they have it mostly completed now down to the Nature Center. And then you could cut across on Table Mountain Boulevard and come over to the North Four Bay State Park and ride on the trail there, too. So it's really a nice thing. And the city and DWR and State Parks, they're all working hard to make all that happen. It's really pretty nice.
Yeah, it's really a gem. And the possibilities are kind of endless on what's going on out there.
They are. Growth is real possible. It's really neat.
I know you guys are moving forward for some of your larger visions of bringing in a rowing facility.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are. We're working with State Parks and DWR now to develop part of the North Forbay as an 8-lane 2K rowing course, which will generate a lot of money for Oroville and Butte County. We're also looking at moving the sailing center to the South Forbay, where there's better wind and a better shaped body of water for regattas for sailing. And we'd like to get a boat, what we call boating instruction and safety center, or a conference building at the North Forbay, where we could hold business meetings and classes, and we'd have a full commercial kitchen and rentals and everything there too. So we're looking at a 1 to 3 year plan on those things.
And busy guy, man.
Yeah, busy guy. Well,
say retirement, right?
Yeah, I'm retired. I failed miserably at retirement, but I recommend it to anyone who has a passion for what they want to do. And you know, once we retire, we get to do whatever we want, and this is what I want to do. It's working out great.
I would like to welcome Katrina Woodcock, the Executive Director of the Butte Humane Society, to Butte Views and Beyond. Thanks for being on today.
Thanks for inviting me.
So, you have a big event coming up on Saturday?
We do. This is our third, what we call a pup crawl. It's a fundraiser for Butte Humane Society. This year's theme is Hound Hoedown, and we have just about 14 downtown businesses and bars participating. It's really fun. It is a fundraiser, so folks get for $25 they get a wristband that in a pup port that outlines everywhere they can go throughout downtown Chico, and they stop at various establishments, and that pup port and your wristband gets you access to specially priced drinks, themed drinks. We have a lot of really great places participating. I'll just give you a couple.
Yeah, so this is kind of the it's like a pub crawl.
Yeah,
but for the Humane Society,
for the pups.
Crawl for pups.
Yeah, crawl for pups. So, like I said, this is our third year that we've done it. We have a lot of great support from our downtown. I live downtown, so our downtown businesses, but and all the drinks are animal themed or dog or cat themed, and then okay. A lot of the establishments also have some great food items on sale too as well. So for instance, Grana has the Grand Spritzu instead of the Shih Tzu.
Oh,
Grand
uh-huh.
Spritzu. The Madison Bear has a Scooby Snack. Parkside has the Strawberry Retriever. And Trace Ombres has the Pekingese tea. So that's just a few of the places. I could give you more, but you can certainly learn more on our website as well.
Yeah, so where would they go to get the full list of participants and tickets? And
super easy. They would just go to buttehumane.org/pup crawl. That's pup, PUPCRAWL. So that's buttehumane.org/pup crawl. We are selling tickets all the way through Friday online, and then you okay. can always come Saturday to the downtown plaza and get a ticket and an entry pup port there as well. And the event itself is this Saturday from 5 to 9 in downtown Chico.
5 to 9 in the evening?
Yeah.
And you're going to be at the plaza? Will be
yeah,
like
we'll be at the plaza. You can't miss it. We have several tents set up, and that's where people check in. Everybody gets the pup port. You get a T-shirt while supplies last. And then, of course, you just get a lot of great a bandana, a special bandana, because our theme is Hound Hoedown, so we encourage people to dress up in theme as well.
Oh, that sounds great. And plus, it's not at the height of the day. It's kind of perfect.
Right. And also wanted to point out, on the website, if you go and check it out, we have 14 businesses participating. And I want to say six or seven of them are animal friendly. So some people like to bring their animal, although it is going to be warm on Saturday. So, you know, we encourage folks that if they are going to bring their dog down, make sure their animal's leashed and gets along well with other dogs. And then, of course, never tie a dog up and go into an establishment that doesn't allow animals. So,
So
you can check it out on the pup crawl, and there's a paw print by every one of the places that allow animals.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Now, is this the first time you've done this event?
Third time. So we've done it the last two summers. This will be our third summer. And so we like it because we know the students leave Chico during the summer and downtown kind of gets a little bit quiet. So we like it because we like to have fun things to do for folks that are obviously living in Chico. But the businesses like it because it drums up a little business for them when otherwise it can be a little quiet.
Yeah, and it's also nice that, in a couple of weeks, students will be returning.
Right.
And it's a different vibe, and it's honestly, you know, working downtown and downtown every day, I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot how chill it is and stuff.
Yeah.
And then it kind of builds up, and it's great, and we appreciate all that.
We get the best of both worlds, right?
Yeah.
You know, I love the university simply because I feel like there's always this young, youthful energy in our community, which is so great. And then I like the summers when it goes back to that, just that really kind of chill and you know, kickback attitude that Chico is so great as well.
Yeah, yeah. You get, like you said, get a little bit of both worlds.
Yeah.
Well, what a fun idea. And I think we did a survey on KZFR a few years back, and I think something like 70% of our listeners have pets.
Yeah, it's a true story. You know, we, during the campfire especially, we were doing a lot of research, but it's grown dramatically, but in the United States of America, 65% of households have at least one animal, but that number is closer to 85% in more rural areas like Northern California and Chico and things like that. And that's one. So we're talking about, you know, 80% of people that live in Chico probably have two or more animals.
A lot of people have multiple.
Absolutely.
I had a cat and a dog.
Yeah, right. Don't ask how many I have.
So, how long have you been involved with the Humane Society?
You know, I've been with the Humane Society since 2014, and I've been the director since 2015, so I'm into my fifth year. It's been a great journey. Lots of changes in our organization. I'm really excited about our future. We have a great staff. We have an amazing volunteer team, a great board of directors, and of course, we couldn't do it without our supporters and the people in the community. So I'm just really proud of our work, our organization, and what we do.
Yeah, you guys, and I know there's been a lot of changes over the years.
Yeah.
And different people don't know where you're located. Why don't we give them some of that?
Well, Be Humane Society is 108 years old. Some people don't know that. So we're one of the oldest nonprofits in Butte County and one of the oldest humane societies in the United States.
Did Annie Bidwell start it?
No, I don't know. I should know the name of the person that started it. But we've been over off of Fair Street since the mid-80s. And it's been a little bit of a transition. The Butte Humane Society for 25 years was providing animal welfare services for the city of Chico. And around 2010, the city of Chico, in an effort to kind of streamline business and the budget, they took that contract back. So Butte Humane Society still is on Fair Street, 2580 and 2579 Fair Street. But we're actually in three different locations where our dogs are on one site, my administration building is on another site, and our cats and our veterinary clinic are on another site. And so we've been that way since 2010. And
ella baila la portuguesa, ella baila la
Okay, we'll try this again. I'm having these, for some reason, they're freezing up, and it's got 8 minutes to go, so we're going to try from the middle of this interview. Let's see if this goes.
Katie Gonzer, Ken's wife, has been involved with Butte Humane Society for close to 10 years now, and they donated 10 acres of land to us three or four years ago. So that was a marvelous gift, and now we're, like I said, $5 million into an $8 million campaign. We've received some significant, amazing gifts from Cliff Bar and Calwater and Rachel Ray Foundation. We just got a $500,000 gift from the Valley Foundation out of the Bay Area. And wow. So we're so excited. And really what we're going to be able to do is create an animal welfare hub for Chico and Butte County. It's pretty incredible. There'll be lots of information. There's actually information on our website at butehumane.org/thejourneyhome. And so there are architectural renderings and what the site will look like. And I'd also like to mention Butte Humane Society is a lot more than just an animal shelter. We actually have a lot of different programs, humane education, therapy, pet therapy, but we also have a veterinary clinic for the public. And we have an amazing veterinarian. Businesses in such demand. We're actually hiring a second veterinarian, but we're able to provide affordable veterinary care to the community, and we found that there was a real need for that. So we're proud to be able to do that, too.
Yeah, I don't think people know that at all.
No, I know. Butte Humane Society Veterinary Clinic, it's all across the street from In Motion Fitness and the old Beauty College now. Uh-huh. We're open Tuesday through Friday. We have a veterinarian, and anything non-emergency for your animal, we can take care of. So anything from vaccines to spay-neuter to mass removals or skin disorders or anything, teeth cleaning, but at a very affordable cost.
Oh, that's great.
And so there's a real need for that in this community, and we're really happy to be able to provide that.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
I don't think anybody knows that.
Yeah. Well, they know it now.
Yeah, good. We'll get the word out
good.
About that.
Awesome. Thanks.
Yeah. No, that's... You know, obviously, with everything that's been going on everywhere and everything that's gone through, the need is so great. And let's face it, I mean, pets.
Yeah.
It's your pet.
Yeah, yeah.
It's your right. baby.
Absolutely, you know? Absolutely, absolutely. You know, also, too, just to quickly state that since the campfire, life goes on and people are rebuilding their lives. But two other things that I wanted to point out that we really push quite a bit on social media. We still have a pet food pantry that we're open every Saturday for okay. anybody that's been displaced or affected by the campfire. Mm-hmm. We provide free cat food, dog food, litter, supplies, anything you need for your animal. That's every Saturday at 2580 Fair Street from 11 to 4. If you've been affected by the campfire and you just need a little extra help and one less thing you have to worry about. And also at our clinic, we've dedicated about $400,000 from the campfire until we run out of those funds to providing free medical care for anybody affected by the campfire for their animals.
Oh, that's great.
So, yeah, so, you know, we work really hard to get that word out. But again, if people want more information, they can certainly go on our website and find out more about that. But we're really proud to be able to do that as well and just to kind of, again, help people as they're rebuilding their lives.
Yeah, and I don't think people realize the multifacetedness of the organization
yeah, yeah.
and all the things you do. You think of, oh, Butte Humane Society, it's like the dog pound kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
I get it. Yeah, for
yeah.
sure.
So,
yeah.
I mean, the fact that you have a veterinary clinic and yeah. you're doing all this relief effort yeah. for yeah. people with pets.
Yeah.
And especially, I mean, come on, we're going, you know, it's 9, 8, 10 months out
right.
now or something.
Right.
So.
You know, and there's still a need. I mean, we're still yeah. seeing anywhere between 75 to 100 folks a week coming and getting pet supplies. And like I said, we have these amazing vendors all over the state of California. And whenever we run low on dog food or cat food, we just reach out to them and they supply us. And they're like, as long as you need. So our goal is to go through the end of the year. And so we give people a full year of support in terms of yeah. pet supplies. And then probably through into 2020 with our veterinary services.
Right. Okay. And your website?
ButteHumane.org.
Okay.
And that's our primary. And you can click on that, and there's tabs, and you can find our veterinary clinic. You can find, of course, our adoptions. You can find the Journey Home, our capital campaign. And, of course, what started this whole conversation, the Hound Hoedown Pup Crawl.
Right. And also, do you have a Facebook presence, I'm sure?
We absolutely do. We have several, but our primary is Facebook at Butte Humane Society. And then we also have Butte Humane Clinic. And okay. Then also the Journey Home.
The Journey Home.
Keeps people up to speed on our capital campaign.
And if people want to get involved, I imagine you're always recruiting volunteers or training people.
Yes. Volunteers, right now, we can certainly use a lot of fosters. We're right in the thick of kitten season, so
we
could certainly use people to help out fostering. But volunteers on a lot of levels for whether it's washing, laundry or doing laundry or washing dishes, walking dogs, socializing cats, helping with events. There's really a lot of volunteer opportunities for anybody to get involved with the organization, get involved if you're interested in leadership, being on a board, mm-hmm. Getting involved in our capital campaign, of course, donating. But it just doesn't, we're just not looking for monetary donations. If people can come to the table with a skill set or some kind of talent, we'd love to have them as part of our team as well.
Yeah, and nothing feels better than helping out.
That's right. And, I know, and for animals, come on.
Yeah, help build a community you want to live in.
Yeah.
Don't just expect it to happen.
That's 100% true, and that's what we were saying with our Journey Home, that, our community is our home, and a home is a family, and we really are, good, bad, or otherwise, we are a big family, and we work together to try to make our home the best it can be.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't hear the last few sentences on that, so...
But it just doesn't... we're just not...
Let's just... I think it was right about here. Yeah, we'll try that.
And nothing feels better than helping out.
That's right. And I know, and for animals, come on.
Yeah, help build a community you want to live in.
Yeah.
Don't just expect it to happen.
That's 100% true, and that's what we were saying with our Journey Home, that, our community is our home, and a home is a family, and we really are, good, bad, or otherwise, we are a big family, and we work together to try to make our home the best it can be.
Yeah, excellent. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's circle back to that hoedown again.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is going to be on Saturday.
So this Saturday, the 27th.
Okay.
5 to 9 p.m. P.m. Downtown Chico. You can get tickets for the pup crawl. You can sign up at buttehumane.org/pupcrawl. And you can also get tickets the day of at the downtown plaza from 4 o'clock on. You can swing by . And again, with your ticket comes the pup port, opportunity to win an amazing raffle. Every pup port you get to enter into a raffle, a T-shirt while supplies last, a bandana, and a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, it sounds great, and a great way to frequent some, or if you haven't been to, or discover some downtown business and food and libation establishments, and do it all for pets and have a nice time.
And it's in downtown Chico.
Yeah, and it's a nice Saturday, and it's still chill downtown.
Yeah, always, even if it's hot.
Yeah, even if it's hot. All right, hey, Katrina, thank you so much for being on Butte Views and Beyond, and good luck with the pet crawl.
Thank you so much.
Okay, now I know. It finally ended. Okay, let's do this. Butte Views and Beyond is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFAR supporters and by Joe Schultz, attorney at law, providing peace of mind, serving legal problems since 1972, experience in personal injury law, as well as trust administration, estate planning, wills, real estate, and probate law. To plan a better future or to resolve a personal injury case, Joe Schultz can be reached at 530-421-9885. and at johnschultzlaw.com, and at Apothecary Options, a compounding pharmacy specializing in bioidentical hormone replacement for women and testosterone replacement for men. More information is available by calling Apothecary Options at 345-7979 or at apothecaryoptions.com. Always when I have a dry mouth. Okay, I'm going to put up some music, and then I will get to the last interview. All right, here we go. Thanks for listening to FM 90.1, Case of Archico.
I'm on your radio. forget about it.
Santana for you. Oh man. Okay, here we go. Hopefully with the last interview. And here we go.
I would like to welcome Phil Wilkie, the general manager of KCHO, NSPR, North State Public Radio, right down the street in downtown Chico. And they are celebrating their 50th anniversary. Welcome to Butte Views and Beyond.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate being here.
So, 50 years.
It has been a long, strange trip. We started on April the 22nd of 1969. At the time, KCHO was broadcasting from a very small room in the back of what is Laxon Auditorium campus. Mm-hmm. And it was a 10-watt signal. So on a good day, it might have reached the city limits.
Right.
And it started out as a way for the communications and journalism students on campus to get some real-world experience. And over time, they moved to having professional staff on engineering and programming, management.
So they basically built a curriculum around the around the station.
And then it became a more of a professional organization with syndicated programming. Mm-hmm. Joined National Public Radio System in the late 70s.
Okay.
Still had some volunteer programming similar to what KZFR has. And then the academic mission kind of fell away.
Okay.
But there were always, internships and news opportunities, things like that. And then it became a full-on NPR affiliate. In the 70s, it moved to the basement of Miriam Library.
Okay. What year did it become NPR? Somewhere in the late 70s?
Somewhere in the late 70s.
Okay.
And then in 2002, we moved into the building that we currently house. And that is here on 1st and Main.
Sure. If you drive by in the evening, you can see the DJ booth.
That's right.
A glow in the corner there.
That's right. Russell is hosting All Things Considered.
There you go.
During the afternoon commute.
Yeah, there you go. And you've been here almost 1 year, correct?
Almost 1 year. It'll be a year in October. I got here just after the car fire up in the Reading area.
Mm-hmm.
Ate up our transmitter
right
on top of Shasta Valley, and just before the campfire wreaked its terrible havoc along Butte County.
Yeah. Now, has the from the campfire, has that transmitter, it's been moved, or is it?
It has been rebuilt on top of the mountain up in Reading.
Okay.
I would love to be able to find the money to move it to a more accessible site, because right now it's a great location for a transmitter. It's a lousy location to get to it.
Yeah, I know. It's tough to get there in the winter, and you got a helicopter in.
Yeah. But we're back up and running there. And the two fires obviously have been driving the news cycle for what we have been doing over the past year or so. And it also affected fundraising, because we are, on the whole, a publicly funded organization, as you are.
Yeah, definitely. And I think every nonprofit has gone through it. And, you know, obviously it's bigger things arise than that. Mm-hmm. But hopefully that cycle is starting to get back to somewhat normal conditions.
Well, the thing is, nobody knows what normal is going to be. I mean, we absorbed 20,000 people overnight, and the county lost 15% of its housing stock in a day.
Yeah.
So who knows what normal is going to be.
Right. What is the new normal?
Yeah.
And you came in from Philadelphia area? Or?
Well, most recently I was in southern New Mexico.
Okay.
I was at a station in southern New Mexico that was a dual NPR and PBS licensee. So I was the head of fundraising down there.
In what town?
Las Cruces, New Mexico, okay. Just outside of El Paso, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, I was at Kansas Public Radio in Lawrence, Kansas for 14-some-odd years. Did sales and fundraising and events and all sorts of things.
At the University of Kansas?
At the home of the University of Kansas, that's
correct. My uncle, I can't remember his last, I only met him once, but he taught there. Like in the '60s and '70s, and I want to say Uncle Nick, but it wasn't Uncle Nick. Anyway,
Rock Chalk Jayhawk.
Yeah,
but I grew up in New Jersey, so yeah, I have now lived in all four time zones.
There you go. Well, coming from New Mexico to Chico, it's got to be a little cooler, maybe. Huh?
Well, it's a dry heat.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're good with that.
Yeah. You're acclimated with it.
Very much so. I never have to shovel snow again, so I'll make that trade any day.
Yeah, I could relate to that. Well, I mean, you know, KCFR and KCHO, we've got a long history together. Mm-hmm. I think we probably share 75 or 80% of our audiences.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm a big fan of a lot of your programming.
Well, thank you. And we have several staffers here who have programs. On KZFR.
Yes, well, just coming in for the interview today, oh, there's everybody I know.
It's all
there's Mark, there's Russell. Yeah. And that's always nice. And it's great. And you guys have really had a big year with winning a couple of awards.
Yeah, we won a National Edward R. Murrow Award for our show After Paradise, you know, which tracked the recovery individually and municipally of the Paradise and the people who were affected by that, and a couple of other news organizations have also recognized that. It's been a big year for me for the station and for me personally. It's my first year here. It's like all of a sudden,
right?
You got all this stuff to do.
Yeah. Well, you jumped right in the middle of it.
Absolutely.
And again, you know, excellent job. And I know Matt does a lot of great work.
Mm-hmm.
Mark and you know, Sarah, all the people that have contributed help make these things happen.
They did the hard work. They were the journalists out there collecting the stories. They were running the deadline journalism of getting the show on every Thursday night. I helped in the background in terms of logistics and fundraising, but all credit to them who were putting the product out on the air.
Yeah, it's excellent. And also, you know, quite often I would hear your stories on the California Report and also on the national feed.
That's right. You know, the quality of the journalism that you can produce at a small station doesn't mean that your audience is limited to a small station.
Right.
NPR stationed some reporters here throughout the fire and its immediate aftermath. And then we pitched a lot of stories, you know, that we were carrying locally to them for distribution to a national audience, and that worked out very well.
Yeah, it's always exciting to hear. It's like, hey, there's Mark Alver, you know, reporting from Chico, California. It's like, hey, you guys are on.
And absolutely.
I have to confess, I'm a California Report junkie. It's one of those things
That and bird, the bird note.
Oh, bird notes, yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of like makes my day when I catch that. I'm always like, oh, quick, catch California Report. And so that's always fun.
Well, and we also hosted Morning Edition from our studios during the fire. The California Report and its reporters have been up here a couple of times. We benefited from a lot of volunteerism for reporters who came up here, helped us out. Because if it had just been our very small staff trying to report this really enormous story,
we would
not have been able to do it.
Sure. Plus the impact. I'm sure you've had people that work here that were impacted by it, like everywhere else. I mean, whether you are specifically burnt out or your family's burnt out or your uncle or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, it affected everybody in an area like Chico.
And that, and it is such a personal story along those lines. You know, I mean, personally, you know, it's just me living here and working here, so I did not have anybody personally affected. But yes, you know, staffers had friends and family and boyfriends and girlfriends and sisters and brothers, all of who evacuated, some of whom lost homes.
Yeah.
This is a generational story for this area.
Yeah, no, it's true. And it'll be going on for years
absolutely
to come. So, what's on the horizon for you guys? Anything? Everybody's trying to breathe a little easier and catch up a little bit. I mean, obviously, you come off the news cycle,
right?
And then the Murrow Awards, which is fabulous.
Well, one thing that we're very excited by is we're in probably mid-August. We are going to be launching a podcast called California Burning, and this is an examination of wildfires from a lot of different angles, you know, policy, history, you know, tactics, ecology, and things like that. So we're going to launch it as a podcast and also give it away in a version. Well, and we also hosted Morning Edition from our studios during the fire. The California Report and its reporters have been up here a couple of times. We benefited from a lot of volunteerism for reporters who came up here, helped us out. Because if it had just been our very small staff trying to report this really enormous story,
we would
not have been able to do it.
Sure. Plus the impact. I'm sure you've had people that work here that were impacted by it, like everywhere else. I mean, whether you are specifically burnt out or your family's burnt out or your uncle or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, obviously it affected everybody in a area like Chico.
And that, and it is such a personal story along those lines. You know, I mean, personally, you know, it's just me living here and working here, so I did not have anybody personally affected. But yes, you know, staffers had friends and family and boyfriends and girlfriends and sisters and brothers, all of who evacuated, some of whom lost homes.
Yeah.
This is a generational story for this area.
Yeah, no, it's true. And it'll be going on for years to come.
Absolutely.
So, what's on the horizon for you guys? Anything? Everybody's trying to breathe a little easier and catch up a little bit. I mean, obviously, you come off the news cycle,
right?
And then the Murrow Awards, which is fabulous.
Well, one thing that we're very excited by is we're in probably mid-August. We are going to be launching a podcast called California Burning. And this is an examination of wildfires from a lot of different angles, you know, policy, history, you know, tactics, ecology, and things like that. So we're going to launch it as a podcast and also give it away in a version, an hour-long episode version to any station that wants to carry it.
Really?
So that's in mid-August.
Now, is that coming specifically from...
Absolutely.
Yeah. Homegrown?
Homegrown.
Yeah.
Matt Fiddler, who is one of our producers
and
also works at KZFR. He had been researching this and recording sound for it even before he came to work at NSPR. So we are finishing that production and will air that sometime in mid-August. We are preparing for the one-year anniversary of the campfire, which will get here before we know it. So news stories for that. We're working with some professors here on campus who are doing an oral history project about the campfire, talking with specifically evacuees.
Okay.
So we're going to be weaving that into our anniversary coverage. And we've been facilitating that through recordings here at the station. You know, we have 10 transmitters across the North State.
The
one in Reading, which is now back on the air, we are trying to get back up to Reading and reintroduce ourselves to listeners and the business community up there to say, sorry for the inconvenience. We're back on the air and, you know, tune your radios back into 88.9, which is the frequency in Reading.
Right.
So we want to start going up there on a regular basis. So, yeah, no rest for the weary.
Yeah, get all that free going. That's when you go down, you know, and then they kind of forget you and they jump over.
There, and there's another radio station based in Southern Oregon.
Right, Jefferson.
The Jefferson that has transmitters near there so people could pick that up. Now, in one sense, that's great, so they can still listen to Morning Edition. Right. On the other hand, they're not listening to us.
Yeah. Well, you want to keep it local. Come on, it's California.
That's right. So we want to get back up there and reestablish some good faith with the listeners.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Hey, I would thank you so much for taking time. And
my pleasure. And I-